Getting you home. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
The family of the late John Hall, renowned Cambridgeshire artist, is to unveil a unique exhibition of his work during this summer's Cambridge Open Studios. John Hall's inspiring work will be showcased this weekend. His daughter, Amanda Hall, a celebrated artist in her own right, is here in the 105 Drive studio. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Julian.
Thank you for coming in. Your daughter taught Sid Barrett and also Fluck and Law, who I guess many people remember as the creators of the spitting image puppets, which characterised, I guess, political satire during the late 1980s. I'm wondering if, you know, if at home around the family table and other places, you know, your father recognised the calibre of the students he was teaching.
Oh, I think he did. I mean, he was there, you know, teaching at the most amazing time in the 60s, throughout the 60s and so on. And, you know, it was quite an atmosphere there at the art school. I've got a memory of seeing Sid Barrett on stage when I was about six, and he was sitting in a tin bath in the Caucasian Chalk Circle, because he was actually in that production, as I remember. I mean, as I say, I was very young at the time, because my dad was also very involved in the theatrical productions at the college.
Doing costumes and set design,
that's,
I think,
right,
as well,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, even before the Mumford was in existence. They used to put on shows in the what's now the gallery at ARU. And so, it was, yeah, it's very exciting.
So as you got older, say into your teens perhaps, did you sort of make the connection with Sid Barrett as to who that man in the tin bath was all those
years
previously?
I think we knew kind of, you know, we certainly knew. I mean, my dad was, you know, he was sort of an older person, you know, he wasn't of Sid Barrett's generation, so and he was quite a traditional teacher, a very good teacher, I think, really, but he started, you know, from the 1950s, and, you know, taught many students sort of throughout the years. So, you know, the college changed its feel, I think, a lot during the 60s, as many art schools did. You know, became kind of quite a...
Did he embrace the trends of the time, or did he stick to that traditional teaching and the, if you like, the students could combine the two?
Yeah, he was, you know, he liked people, he liked students, but he knew what he was doing, and he wasn't sort of so much swayed by the new, you know, movements coming through. He was a fantastic draftsman, and so he, you know, he had a lot to teach about that.
He seemed to have had some sort of a double life in a roundabout way, because he was teaching at the art school, he was doing this theatre set design and costume design, yet at the same time, there was still room to do the drawings and paintings of his own.
Yeah, well, he never stopped, really. We lived in Linton in a little thatched cottage, and he'd sort of sit at the table and either be drawing, you know, he's constantly working, or he'd be building up little maquettes for the productions and so on. And he worked in with, I mean, he did the theatre stuff really in his days off, and, you know, one day a week, and he could be found in this terrapin hut on the campus. And he worked in with, you know, different people in the different trades at what was then the Technical College, obviously, like, you know, the carpenters and electricians, and they actually put together the shows, you know, the stage.
And the work, his work, was that displayed in your house, or did he sort of tuck it away in folders? What happened to it at the time?
It got kind of propped up at the bottom of walls. He just painted, really, you know, and he didn't have a studio to start with, and then he used the garage because somebody fell through the roof. And so he thought, rather than thinking, oh, you know.
See, some people might have turned that into a modern art exhibit these days.
Yeah, well, he just put a piece of Perspex in and actually sort of decided the car could kind of stay outside, and so he set up a kind of, you know, a thing for people to sort of sit on. He did portraits in there, and then eventually he built basically a giant shed in the garden, which my mum always wanted to sort of convert into a nice kind of gallery space, but I think my dad just wanted to kind of be in a kind of workspace, you know, so he'd go out there and... you know, get on with it, really.
And so what is being shown this weekend, isn't it, as part of Open Studios?
Yeah.
Is it some of that work which should have been done in that garage?
That's right, yes. I mean, My dad died in 2006. There are four of us siblings. I'm the youngest of four. And since he died, we've been looking after what he left, which was, you know, we had it all bubble wrapped up. Mm. And basically, he left about 500 paintings, oil paintings.
So this is going to be the first opportunity for people to see this.
Yeah, I mean, he did have work in exhibitions, you know, here and there, but he wasn't really sort of seeking it out. So it's, you know, we wanted to, you know, rather than this stuff get lost, we wanted to kind of have it, you know, have it on show. And we're starting to appreciate just exactly what he did. You know, there's folios and folios of theatre set designs and costume designs. And
they were labelled up, so you know which production it was from.
No, I mean, you know, it's a matter of guesswork to some extent, and we're sort of, you know, still in the middle of doing that.
Possible that people will be coming around and thinking, I remember that production.
I think so. We're hoping that, you know, people will sort of see his name and maybe be interested to come along. And if they knew him, you know, that would be fantastic.
And I guess there will be a lot of people still living around the city who did know him.
Yes, I think that they will. Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, yes, it's exciting. You know, don't quite know what to expect, really. Mm. So my house is pretty small, but we're going to put pictures all around the walls and have a little display of theatre stuff upstairs, and so, you know, it should be cosy. Mm. I think.
And you're an artist yourself, of course. I'm wondering as to how much influence your father's work has had on your own material.
Yeah, quite a lot, I think. I mean,
consciously, subconsciously.
Oh, I mean, you can't avoid it, I think, if you grow up in an artistic household. And I was interested in drawing from being very young. I mean, my draftsmanship is nowhere near as good as my dad's, I have to say. But I think what I was inspired by was the productions to some extent. And I remember him doing Boris Godunov in the 60s with sort of big Russian hats and so on, made of floor mops, you know, that were dyed. So he'd use all sorts of things to you know, as part of the costumes. Mm-hmm. And all that for me really went in. And a lot of I'm an illustrator, and I actually trained at the college. I think it was CCAT at the time. I can't remember. It's had so many different lives, the college.
Obviously after your father had stopped teaching.
No, he taught me for a little while.
Oh, right.
I did the foundation there. I think we avoided each other to some extent. It's a bit shy, you know, of sort of making it explicit that we're father and daughter. Anyway, I then did the graphics course, which is now the illustration course. And I think, you know, it's certainly fed through, yeah, most definitely.
And will some of your work be on display this weekend as well?
It will, yeah. I have got a shed in my garden where I work, great sort of old fen shed. And I've held my open studios in there before. So I'll be kind of in the studio in my shed, and my brother and sisters will be manning the house show with my dad's
work. Are they artists as well?
My brother trained at art school and went to Reading and did fine art. My sisters, one was a midwife at the Rosie for many years, and the other sister, Rachel, was a legal secretary. She's only just retired. So she, you know, she's done all sorts of things.
A bit of a mix by the sounds of things.
Quite a mix.
Whereabouts, you don't even get the precise address now, because people can either go to the website or pick up one of these wonderful booklets that tells everybody where the open studios are. But it's just this weekend, that's the key thing, isn't it?
Well, for hours, obviously.
Yes.
The, you know, open studios
throughout the month of July, but
every weekend in July, exactly. Mm. But yeah, this is just one that we're doing, and our numbers in the guide, if you pick up a guide, I'm 60A and my dad's 60B in the guide, so you can sort of see, you know, then you can connect with the website and have take a look and see if you're interested in coming.
Sounds pretty good. And if you want to look up online, just type into your Saint Google, the patron saint of search engines, Cambridge Open Studios. You'll mm-hmm. you'll soon find it. And these leaflets, I was in at lunchtime. I was in the Norfolk Street Deli buying myself a very nice sandwich, and saw some copies there. Of course, typically I forgot to pick one up, but thankfully Amanda's been good enough to bring one in to me this evening.
Did you want me to say a bit about the Open Studios?
Yeah, go on, just ever so ever so quickly as to what people can find.
I mean, it's an amazing movement, the Open Studios movement, and it's been going for a long time, since the 60s in Cambridge. It's a fantastic free weekend visit. Well, you can sort of spend your whole weekend, every July weekend, trundling around, having a look at amazing work on display. Be made very welcome. It's a really great thing to do. Look out for the yellow flags that are hanging from people.
Oh yes, you definitely can't miss those. There's giant ones which have turned up in all sorts of places just to promote the event this year, of course, as well.
Yeah. So, and then also the yellow guides, which you can pick up in shops and so on, and libraries and all that kind of thing. So it's really good, and spread the word about Open Studios. It's a really good institution.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, Amanda, thank you very much for coming in, talking about your work and, of course, that of your father as well, John Hall. Thank you very much indeed. Quickly, before we do the travel, we can tell you that Heather Watson has won her second round match at Wimbledon against Slovakian Daniela Hantuchová, and 6-4, 6-2. So straight sets there for Heather Watson, which is good, because that's another difficult name out of the draw for the second round.